Welcome, Gaelic football enthusiasts, and boy, do we have an episode for you today. It's going to be a riveting episode of G-Zone Podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Sherry, and we're thrilled to have you join us for our special milestone, our 60th episode. 60 episodes of diving into deep into all things GA, and today we've got some truly exciting lined up for our listeners. Today we're shifting our focus to one of the most intriguing teams. We need to start with the breaking news in the world of the GAA, and boy, is it a big story, as a unionist councillor has come out and criticised Gaelic Games, you know, and the BBC saying it's an ongoing agenda by the BBC to divert funding from as many areas as possible towards the GAA. In a statement, the TUB councillor for the Causeway Coast in Glensborough, Alistair Kyle, was critical of the decision to axe the Irish League show from the BBC. Moving to Limerick, if anybody understands that the very different played fields, metaphorically, that women and men still occupy Gaelic Games, it is surely a couple who play both county. You know, Cork Camogie star Ashley Thompson recently labelled the gap in player wealth of sports between herself and boyfriend Darrell Donovan as complete polar opposites. Rashid Ambrose, who captains the Limerick footballers and Sunday's TG Carr, All-Ireland Junior Final against Down, is in the same boat. She doesn't begrudge any bit of the support and success that her partner Aaron Galan enjoys and got to share in his latest hurling euphoria recently. The timing was perfect. Our semi-final was on the Saturday, the hurling final was on the Sunday, and we'd 3 weeks to our final, so we got to do a little bit of celebrating with them. But I was back at training on Wednesday. She stresses with a smile. To Fermanagh, a former Fermanagh GAA star, Ryan McCluskey, has had out treatment by his young daughter by the NHS and called for a change. Ryan McCluskey, who was a household name in the county's GAA team for the best part of 2 decades, has submitted a letter to the local South West Acute Hospital laying out deep concerns and frustrations around his 4-year-old's 6-hour wait in the A&E on Monday night when being taken to hospital with a medical emergency. Ryan said his daughter's 6-hour wait was seen by a doctor, receiving an expert, was deeply distressing. I'm writing this to convey my deep concerns and frustrations regarding my recent experience and my family encounterment at our local hospital in Fermanagh. The sign states, our 4-year-old daughter was brought into the local hospital around 7 p.m. due to a medical emergency on the mentioned date. Unfortunately, our experience was marred by distress and waited 6 hours before our daughter received necessary attention from a doctor and underwent the required X-ray. In heritage news, musicians Luke Kelly and Christy Moore have been voted the people who best represent Irish heritage, while Irish stew has been voted the most traditional meal. Contemporary research by the National Lottery and Heritage Committee show Luke Kelly received 23% of the vote. Moving to Offaly, Belmont GAA Club are angered after a postponement and request was denied. Moving to Galway, McCafferty is based in Galway now, where he works as a doctor at University College Hospital. And before we jump right into the action, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button or follow us.
Baller Kevin Feely. And yes, yeah, so how you been yourself, Kevin?
Yeah, grand, not a matter. It's just right in the middle of the club season now, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we'll start there, like, you know, so we'll start at the important games for Kildare, you know, and the Leinster semi-final, it looked like, you know, Dublin's 12-year dominance was on the brink of being over, because, you know, you had them on the ropes for about 65 minutes, but Dublin managed to pull away, winning on a 16-14 point scoreline there, like, so surely that must have been kind of very gut-wrenching to have had that result.
Just Patrick said, it's very hard to hear you at the moment. I'm not too sure what the issue is there. I think you were asking about the Dublin game in Leinster semi-final.
Yes, the Dublin game in the Leinster semi-final, yeah.
It was last point, a great performance, in fairness. It was probably as well as we've played against Dublin in recent times, anyway. And it definitely, you know, felt like we had them. You know, we had the beatings of them. We were kind of 2 or 3 points up for most of the game. But I think, I don't know whether it was a lack of belief or whether it was just kind of our shooting efficiency. We got a bit panicky and kind of shooting from the wrong areas in the last few minutes, whereas Dublin were patient and kind of worked the ball into guaranteed scoring zones. And if you kind of looked at the shoot percentages for the last 20 minutes of the game, Dublin were definitely a lot more efficient towards the end of the game, but you know, it was definitely encouraging at the time that we kind of played as well as we did, and we came so close to beating Dublin in Leinster. But in hindsight, it was probably Dublin were only just getting going really at that part of the season. They hadn't really turned on their peak performance just yet, and we're probably timing their run for a little bit later in the year, given how kind of little importance the provincials have now these days, you know.
Yeah. And then when the first game of the All-Ireland series, you know, many were under some kind of illusion that it could have been an easy one for Kildare, you know, travelling up to Markovitch Park in Sligo. But Sligo definitely gave a good game and managed to notch a late point to make it a draw. Like, so that definitely would have been... Did Sligo catch you by surprise, or was it, you know, very much expected, a game like that?
There was definitely an element of them catching us by surprise. Well, I thought, no, not in that they caught us by surprise, because all the kind of tape we'd watched of them, they were games in which they'd done very well, and they kind of comfortably won Division 4. And you know, had a decent campaign, and were a good team and played very, very well. You know, we got going at all our intensity levels, the rapport, and then a lot of areas of the field, the 1-to-1 battles were well and truly lost. And we were, to be honest, lucky to get away with a point out of it at all. Especially in the last 15-20 minutes, Sligo came at us, and it was almost inevitable that they were going to come back, and you certainly got the sense that. They did probably deserve to win. They missed the point just before the equalising point. They could have been equalised, and you would have put money on them probably getting the winner then after that. So, we did well actually to come out with a point, but it was a serious kind of underperformance by us, I suppose, which was very typical of Kildare teams recently to have against the better teams put up such a good performance like we did against Dublin and Leinster, and then, you know, coming back there to. Crazy levels of inconsistency by being so poor against Sligo kind of summed up where we were at the time, so it was disappointing.
And then Kilkenny was the venue for your next game, and you know, after a very encouraging performance in Leinster and all the rest there, Dublin probably knew the score and managed to really show their prowess. You know, it was probably the first game which they took properly serious during the year there, so definitely, you know, was tough game there. So how would you assess that game?
That game was a much higher intensity game than the one in Croke Park. Like as you said, Dublin had kind of come over like here. Or two from the previous game, and a little bit they were pushing up on them. I think the game they had against Roscommon in the group stages probably kind of they learned a lot from that. In the way Roscommon held the ball and kind of dominated possession against them, and Dublin kind of seemed like they kind of said, we're not going to let any team do that against us again. So against us they pushed right up and gave absolutely no one any time on the ball. Unfortunately. Our lads that day didn't respond particularly well to it and looked a little bit under pressure the whole game when we were in possession. Now we still worked some lovely scores and had some decent individual performances, but again it was more rem- reminiscent of the previous Dublin matches, and that we were probably a level below what they were able to produce. And you know, Dublin were definitely deserving winners that day by whatever it was, 8 or 9 points, I can't remember. But we looked like we were a good bit off the pace of them in that game, which again it was you know, disappointing. We prepared for it as well as we could have, but we didn't respond well on the day to the challenge that Dublin presented to us. So again, another disappointing kind of championship day out for us.
Yeah, and then we look then, and it was in Tullamore. There was a statement waiting to be had and all the rest there. Roscommon were obviously coming out of a Dublin draw and beating Sligo and all the rest there, so they had their 3 points gathered and all the rest there, and yous would have needed 3 points to get through and maybe have gotten, well, not a home draw, but a neutral draw against, you know, the next opponent there, and you just came out and delivered there against Roscommon. So how big of a deal was that for Kildare beating Roscommon?
Against the wall, and we have a point to prove, and one of us, which was, you know, there was a bit of a kind of a personal thing with it as well, with Davy Burke being the upper Kildare man and stuff like that, and you kind of would have known that he would have done anything to have beaten us. So there was that challenge. There was the challenge of how poor we were in the previous two games, and kind of how much our character was in question at the time, and then obviously just the added kind of challenge of potentially being knocked out. Had Sligo picked up enough of a, or had Sligo got enough score difference against Dublin, so there was a lot going into that game that provided a lot of kind of easy motivators to make sure that we didn't disappoint ourselves this time. And we kind of brought in much bigger level of intensity and passion and aggression and everything we did in that game than we had in any game previous to that. So that was really enjoyable, and it was great to be playing in a game where you felt like you were competitive and in with a chance of winning and kind of doing yourself justice against top opposition. And it was a super game of football in a stadium that we really seemed to enjoy playing in there in Tullamore. So really enjoyable and really cool to come out the right side of it, at the end just by a point. So that was one of the better days of the season, definitely.
Yeah, and then it was, yous then had to return to Tullamore, obviously, because your home ground is currently under repairs and whatnot. Like, and Monaghan were probably a little, I don't want to say embarrassed there, like, but they definitely had a point to prove after getting, you know, well beaten by Donegal, and then yous went out and yous beat Roscommon. So it was two teams coming in with very different motives, but for one reason or another, it was Monaghan who narrowly won there. So that must have been, you know, a disappointing way to lose a season with a lot at stake.
It was disappointing for sure. Again, we felt like we were in with every opportunity to win that game, and you know, towards the end again, we went a point up. With not too long left, and you know, we would have really been disappointed that we weren't able to see it out. But you know, you see what Monaghan did in the games afterwards, and you realise kind of what a resilient team they are. They've managed to be Division One side for so long now that they always be able to put it out of the fire when it matters, especially, you know, in the league, they're always kind of last two or three games in, potentially getting relegated, and they pull these performances out of nowhere, which shows kind of what a strong, resilient team they are, and they're probably at their peak in terms of their age profile as well, and they have a great blend of experience and players at their peak, and then a couple of young lads coming through with great potential, and they showed that in the couple of games following against Armagh and Dublin. I'd say that was probably the winner of the game when we played them, that they had that experience of being in tight games and coming out the right side of it, and had the belief in themselves that if that happens, they have the players who can pull it, or who can produce a big time performance and a big time point, like Conor McCarthy
Oops. Yeah. I don't know what happened there, like, but just internet, Donegal internet, not doing me many favours, but anyways, and so we move on now, and the next big game wasn't a gamer, but who do you feel was the best player this year for Kildare? Or than yourself?
Kildare's best players this year. We probably had Nick O'Grady, our fullback, who was excellent all year, as was our goalie, Mark Donlan. He's always extremely consistent. Then McCormack had some really, really brilliant kind of individual. In general, our full back line were pretty good. Owen Dial as well as another man who produced huge performances on the big day there in cornerback. So, Paddy McDermott, the kind of wing back, wing forward, who really kind of stepped up this year. He was really one of our better players. And you can see definitely a big future for him for Kildare going forward.
Yeah. And then, you know, with every year coming through and all the rest, there's always young players who'll break through and make their place known. Like, which young players within the Kildare setup maybe would have impressed you the most this year?
A couple of guys came through from the under-20s team that won the All-Ireland. After they won that, a couple of lads training with us. And there's a couple of them that definitely showed huge amounts of potential. A guy called Harry O'Neill, who's a cornerback. From Clane, he looks like he'll be a part of their selves for years to come. And another guy, Callum Bolton, who's a kind of midfielder, half forward, plays with Sarsfields. They were part of a crew of lads that came up from the under-20s training with us, and they look like they have huge kind of futures with Kildare. They're probably the main young lads I'd see kind of making a huge impact for Kildare over the next few years.
And then we now go on to the club scene in Kildare. And what's the aim this year with FI?
Sorry, what's that again, Patrick?
What is the aim this year with FI?
Oh, okay, sorry. Probably, you know, we every year we're generally getting to semi final or final most years, so we'll be trying to win championship. It'll be extremely tough because Nace are a bit of a juggernaut in Kildare at the moment after winning the last two championships in a row, and seem to get stronger every year because their underage system is pretty dominant. So like every year they seem to pull in another couple of players from minor and under 21 to make them stronger. So they'll be definitely the team to beat. And we're in a group now with themselves and with Nace, Sarsfields and Maynooth. We had our preliminary round last week. So we have a really tough group, but we're a good chance, a great chance of coming out of it and being on the right side of the draw for the quarterfinal and semi-final. So, as ever, that our aim would be to win the championship. But we won't be favourites this year. Nace will be strong favourites, and it'll be a kind of tight race between three or four teams. Our Sarsfields, Selbridge, ourselves. Claim that they'll all be kind of in the hunt to try and topple Nace, so it'll be a good championship, but it'll going to be very hard to get over the line against Nace.
Yeah, and there's also the other thing there. So what I've seen there, all I could find so far was that 112-9 points just beat Selbridge there. Like, so how much of a confidence boost would that be for the FI team?
Oh, that was a reserve match. That was
was it? Second. crap.
That's right. No, we played Moorfield in the first round.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We won very well, but Moorfield are probably a team that on the other end are maybe were at the top and are kind of slipping down a little bit due to lack of underage coming through. So it was a great win for us, but ultimately all that did was put us into a winner's group and then. Moorfield into a losers group, so it doesn't have a huge impact on the championship. It was just it was a nice start for us.
Yeah. And the only thing is, though, Yous have the under 20 All Ireland Player of the Year, James McCrae, at the club. Like, how big of a boost, you know? No, he's probably been involved in the team the last few years, but now that he's probably got that experience at inter county level and whatnot, that Yous can maybe push on and get that championship.
Yeah, he's a great lad to have with us. Had an unbelievable year with the under-20s, and we would have got a bit of football out of him last year with the senior team. He kind of came in towards the end of the championship and started playing two games for us, and he's an unbelievable natural defender with just ridiculous athletic abilities, naturally strong and fast and powerful and a great ball carrier. So he should add a huge amount to us there in the half-back line this year. So yeah, we're not going to be putting any pressure on him at all, because you know he's still only 20 years of age. But we think he'll definitely be a huge addition to us this year. So hopefully he helps us get over the line anyway.
Yeah. Is there any other players on the team that you think Glenn Ryan should consider for the county team?
Good question. Yeah, there's a few lads who've been in and out before. So myself and David have been there a good while, and then Niall Kelly, he took a break there just as Glenn Ryan was starting, but is playing unbelievably well at the moment. So I'd be hugely in favour of him getting another call back in, and his younger brother Barry Kelly, again, he's been in on the panel before, but is again playing brilliant football at the moment. He'd be another one that'd be well capable of coming in. And the lad Darren Lawler, again, who was previously on the panel, he's a cornerback that'd be definitely well worth another look at. And David's brother Mark Highland as well, a brilliant
yeah.
There's plenty of lads there with the potential.
Yeah, and as well, like, so we move on there, like, and who do you feel Nis is Nis probably, if you had the nail on, our toughest opponent that could hold you back from winning the championship, would Nis be that team?
Said they just keep getting strong. Where it seems 4 or 5 lads on the county panel, they've 4 or 5 lads on the under-20, have 6 on the minor team, they've CPS have won the last 3 Leinster schools in a row. They have 3 lads on the hurling panel who also play with the football team on the Clare Hurling Club in an area that's got, you know, 5,000 people there, so it's they have a lot to choose from, a lot to pick from. But they and that they're really well coached, and they have some absolutely brilliant individual players. So they'll definitely be the team to try and stop.
Yeah, they could put a full 15 of players who played county at any level, but we look there now, like, and obviously as a county player and all the rest, do you feel a split season has become massive benefit to you now, that and your club mates, that you can give your full attention now with it being in August?
Just gives a little bit more of a kind of lead-in period of training with your club that you didn't get before, and a bit more of an opportunity to kind of re-assimilate yourself with your club, your teammates, and the different style of play that your club plays, and getting to know kind of your sits and stuff like that. So it's a big advantage. It used to be kind of mid-August a lot of the time that you'd be going back in and trying to rush things, and a lot of the time that your body would be fairly physically bent as well. So it's nice that that's not the case now. It's definitely something that benefits inter-county players and I think club players as well, that everyone seems to be making the most of their time while they're playing rather than things dragging on from one end or the other. So I think it's been a big benefit for players anyway.
Yeah, and right, so if you've won the championship, you're then going to be in Leinster and stuff there and play the Offaly or Meath champions. But a Kildare team has never won it, Leinster, since 2017. Is it an actual cause of concern in Kildare that it's going to drag on that little bit more, that you haven't won a Leinster senior club championship, you know, but, or is it not really that big of a deal?
It's probably not long enough has passed yet for us to be, I think Moorfield won it in 17, eh?
Yeah.
15, isn't it?
Yeah, 2017.
Yeah, it's probably not too long ago.
I know.
That you'd be worried about it dragging on or anything like that. In fairness, I don't think any, there's still very competitive games in Leinster Club. Like, I know Dublin teams are winning it a fair bit, but they've always had a lot of tough games along the way, against your Port Arringtons and St. Lomans and Nace and stuff like that. So I don't think they're walking their way through Leinster. So I think any team that comes out of Kildare would definitely feel like they have a very strong chance. As tough as it might be against a Kilmacud or a Ballyboden or Ballymun, I still think that any team coming out of Kildare would think they have a really, really strong chance of doing well in Leinster.
Yeah, and then before we go there, is there much of a buzz now around Kildare, obviously, because there is an All-Ireland final this coming Sunday for the ladies footballers in the intermediate against Clare there, so would there be, much buzz and stuff around AFAE and elsewhere?
Definitely is. It's kind of the main thing that's being talked about at the moment around the county football wise. In a tie, we have two girls on the panel as well, Fiona Trout and Nessa Dooley. So there's a big interest from an entire point of view. We've a bunch of club supporters going up on the Sunday as well to watch, and even trying to get tickets ourselves there now. We've seen the stadium looks like it's pretty much going to be fairly close to packed. So. There's a huge buzz about it, and a huge buzz about how well Kildare have been playing. They're unbeaten in a huge amount of games in a row now, I think, going back to from after they won the league all the way through Leinster and then the All-Ireland series. So they're playing really well. They'll be going in as favourites, which is tough, but and the league final they had against Clare earlier in the year went to extra time, and it was a really, really kind of cagey, nervous affair. So it could be something similar this weekend, but there's definitely a huge relief that Kildare can do the job, and that the team have done enough to deserve to be up in the senior ranks next year. So we're definitely a big buzz for the game anyway.
Yeah, thank you very much there, Kevin. Right, get that published in Spotify or whatnot, so like none of it. Thank you.
Before we wrap up this insightful discussion, we want to extend our heartfelt gratitude to our special guest, Kevin Feely, for joining us. Kevin, your insights and perspectives on Kildare football season have added immense value to our conversation. Kevin, your base understanding of the game and your personal experience as a Kildare supporter have truly enriched this episode. We're thankful for the time you dedicated discussing the team's journey with us. Recall, the GA community thrives on passion and camaraderies that fans like Kevin bring to the table. As we finish this chapter of the podcast, we invite you all to continue the conversation. Disclose your thoughts, predictions, and memories from Kildare season in the comments section. Let's keep the atmosphere of Gaelic football alive and thriving. So, a giant thank you, Kevin, for his valuable insights to our listeners for tuning in, and to everyone who makes the GA community a vibrant and cherished part of our lives. That's a wrapping for this episode, folks. Up until next time, keep supporting, keep cheering, and keep the GA spirit alive. Goodbye and take care. Before we bid adieu to Kevin, we'd also like to acknowledge the dedication and commitment you've shown, not only as a guest on this podcast, but also as a true ambassador for Kildare football. Your fury is infectious.